in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Now, this, we know well some of the Proverbs here and there, but let us read this whole chapter of Proverbs because I want to take a thought from here. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about your neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy inheritance or increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correct, even as a father the son in whom he delight. Happy is the man that find wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared with her or unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in the left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retain her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou lie down, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidant, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Neither say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it in it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the habitations of the just. Surely he scorned the scorners, and he gave grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Well, there's a whole lot of things that contain in this chapter. Whole lot of things. You know, be nice to your neighbor, even though they're bad. You know, even though they don't realize it, they do it simply because of us. You know, and so many other things that we know, what we should do, what we have. If somebody asks for it, those say, come back tomorrow, we can give it to them. You see. And there are many times when, as I said, the people have wrote in and asked for help, this and that. Sometimes, of course, they ask because they know that they can get money from me. But I've learned how to be wise, as the Bible said also, at the same time. Yes, I want to help people. But I cannot help people who are lazy, who knows that, okay, there is this place in Singapore, they can ask and they can get money. That sort of thing. No, I'm not that foolish to just to give it to you when you ask. When you have an actual need, you have prayed about it and God will meet the need. And God will give direction for me to do whatever I can to help. Amen? That's the thing the Bible teaches us so many things. Today, the subject of this talk is just simply a word, balanced life. The word of God, the word balanced life, or word balanced sins. What kind of life do we have as a Christian? Are we living a Bible-balanced life? Or are we overly zealous? Or are we overly righteous, overly wise, and having all the ideas that we have in our head? So let us go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 14 to 16. Alright? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Of this thing, put them in remembrance. Am I reading right? Yeah, okay. Sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Of this thing, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And thee and their word will eat as do a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. God know them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Alright, we just stop there. Now, sometimes when we read the King James Version, there are some words that may not be very clear to us. But we will go along, and I have some other version here that I will read it to you. Now, as a Christian, for me, especially as a preacher, it is easy for people to misunderstand the preacher. As a Christian, you too, in your life that you live, I don't know how many times you have been misunderstood by your colleague, or your friends, or your neighbor, or even family members who are not Christian. And all because of the life we live. As a Christian, if we live the life that we live, which is right before the Lord, and people criticize it, that's okay. But if you are a Christian and a believer, and your life do not reflect God, then when you are criticized, then who are you? Who to blame? You are said to be blamed because you do not live that life, a good, balanced life. Now we look at Jesus Christ in the book of John chapter 21. Alright? Because what our subject here is, we don't want to be overly zealous, overly righteous, and you know, do things that are not supposed to be. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 20 to 24. Here we have this incident about the beloved disciple. Then Peter telling about, well, I think I should just read a little bit from the top. You know, from verse 15 we want to. Here we have in verse 15 about Jesus, after having taken the supper, Jesus turned to Simon Peter and asked him, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. Then Jesus said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Dear Lord, thou know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. And Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Very, very, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girt thyself and walked whither thou would. But when thou be old, thou stretch forth thy hand, and another shall guide thee, or gird thee, and carry thee whither thou would not. This spake he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper time, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I would that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, we know that this book is written by John. Now, the incident here, of course, is where we have how that we hear things and could misinterpret things. So this was an incident, like the incident that was earlier when Jesus said to the disciple, among all the disciples, there are 12 of them, he said, there'll be some of you standing here that shall not see death, see the Son of Man coming in His glory. So they were probably wondering what that is. But 3 days later, He took 3 of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, to Mount Transfiguration, as it's so called, and to see Christ Himself transfigured and being glorified in that kingdom, so called the kingdom coming glory. That is the transformation of the body. So now, people could really misunderstand what Jesus said, because the peculiarity, as I said, of one who is a prophet, they will speak in such a way that sometimes it carries hidden meanings. So in this case, that Jesus is about, he came and talked to the disciple, and he was trying to tell them how that Peter, he was trying to show Peter how he would die, actually, in one sense. All right? But he wanted to ask Peter the first one to feed his sheep. And in Peter, in verse 18, how he said about when you are young, when you grow up, you can go around playing and you do anything by yourself, but when you grow, somebody have to hold your hand. So he's saying that Peter is going to grow old and by him that he would die. Signify how he would die. So now, Peter was wondering about John, because John is the one who always sit next to Jesus Christ and always put his ears onto the shoulder of Jesus Christ and, call the breast of Jesus Christ to hear the heartbeat of Christ. And Peter said, what would this man do? He said, what shall this man do? And hear what Jesus said in verse 22. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? For the knowing. Now, if you would ask me a question, but again, what about this brother? Then if I say to you, if this brother is going to come with me, what is that to you? How will you feel? You can feel offended, huh? Because the way I speak. What is that to you? Sometimes it's just straightforward, some people just cannot take the word, get hurt. So Peter might say, he spoke to me like that. How human beings are. They're so sensitive to words. And I think that is why we cannot just simply take words and get upset. We have to have a word balanced life and maintain our spirit our what you call a posture as a Christian, how that, you know, we should conduct ourselves. So what Jesus tells Peter, what is that to you if he should tarry till I come? So this statement went on that, oh, John is not going to die until Christ come back. But this is what Jesus said. That's what John wrote in the next verse by himself. He says that Jesus did not say that he is going to die. Right? Verse 23. Then when he's saying among the brethren that this Shepherd should not die, yet Jesus said, not unto him, he shall not die. But merely a statement, if he shall tarry till I come? Tarry till I come. So how are you going to interpret words like this? So now, as Paul said in the 2 Timothy that we read earlier on, let's go back to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here we have in verse 14, of this thing put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but only to the subverting of the soul. Don't strive with words to no profit. There are certain words that is being spoken, you know, a sister wrote me and asked me, what would this Barbram, this Barbram using the right word? And he quote what Barbram said about, you know, how that there will be this temple and God, and Barbram said, God will come down to worship with his people. So do you get what I'm saying? This is what Barbram said. He says, well, there's something wrong with this statement. He said, God worship with the saints. Who is God worshipping? You know what I mean? So I said, of course, obviously, Barbara made a mistake of saying using the wrong word. So I would say that Barbara probably would be saying that God will come down to fellowship with the saints, not to worship with the saints. You know what I mean? So sometimes we say things or say speak too fast, we use the wrong word. And you know that I probably have spoken a lot of wrong words, unintentionally. So we do not, as Paul said, strive about with words to no profit. And this is what we don't want to do. You know, so all these preachers said, this preacher said, and then we go and look at the word. I said, sister, don't take all those words, individual words, and try to figure out what it means. Take the whole subject as a thought and understand what the Spirit is trying to carry across to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the same thing Jesus told Peter, you know, what if he tarried till I come? He tarried till I come. What is that to you? So, the saying went out that John is not going to die until Christ come by return. But then Jesus said that he's not going to die. That's not what it means. You see? So, I want to say this, that when we look at the scripture, it's important for us as individual how we take the word of God. Now, here we have on this earth, just like over in the day of Jesus Christ, there are a lot of troublesome people. Right? Is it not true? There are a lot of troublesome people. You find all kinds of people everywhere, in your company, in your school, even in churches everywhere, even, you know, any church. Okay, the problem is that when we come to the Christian people, there are a lot of them, they think they know a lot. They think that they know the scripture well, they're full of Holy Spirit, that they have a lot of understanding about the Bible. But actually many of them who boast to know the scripture, actually many of them do not actually know the scriptures. And that is very true. And now, what the Bible says, we need to keep ourselves humble. Alright, now there's this, let's go, I'm going to read to you from the Lamsas translation, this chapter, or these few verses of 2 Timothy. I just photocopied so that I don't have to bring the whole thick book of Lamsas. Let me just read to you from verse 14. Now I know that we are so used to King James, and sometimes the meaning may not give you a clear understanding. Alright, so reading from Lamsas Bible, it says, you shall keep these things in remembrance as a testimony before our Lord, that the faithful should not argue over words in which there is no profit, but which are destruction to those who listen to them. Now we are in the end time message. We have embraced the message. And some of you probably have heard different doctrines and all that. And one of the strange doctrines, even that was recently asked of me by a sister about the two soul doctrine. Now, two soul doctrine started in America from in the city of Ohio. That a Christian, only a believer, a true believer, only have two souls. The sinners only have one soul. Okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, how did this preacher come to that understanding, or that silliness, I would call it? Well, how did he come to that? He got it from the quotes of Brother Branham, because Brother Branham never taught two souls. But the way that Brother Branham defined what a soul is caused this preacher to think that he had a great revelation. The Brother Branham says he defined the soul as the what? Soul as the manifestation of the spirit. The nature of the spirit. That is to say that you, and that's why I talk about this thing about the soul. You see, if you have the spirit of God in you, that quickens your soul, and then you are filled with the Spirit of God, your soul must manifest God. It's the manifestations of the Spirit that you have. So when God made Adam, created Adam, you know that he was created a spirit. Because God is a spirit, so he must be a spirit. So when God made a body of dust, he put this spirit of Adam, which belongs to him, his spirit that he gave to Adam, into that body, man became a living soul. So what is Adam supposed to do? Adam manifests the Spirit of God. Is that right? That is not why Adam was not deceived. Because he was an original. You understand that? He knows what he's supposed to do. So that is called manifestation. So Barabbas said the soul is the manifestation or is the nature of the Spirit. Now, to this preacher he said, oh, since there are two nature, because Paul in the book of Romans chapter 5 talks about the struggle of two nature, so he said, therefore, a Christian has two souls. And then further teaching comes about that the soul that is not a good soul must die, and the soul that is the right soul is born of God must live. Then later on, they have all kinds of, then you have said, the exchanging of the soul, the changing of the soul. All different versions become very complicated. And to this day, I still laugh about the whole thing. Huh? And, you know, brothers and sisters, every one of us, whether a sinner or not sinner, we only have one soul. Because we are all born into this world with the life of God that God gave for all to live. But because we are born into the world in sin, we are dead in sin. Our spirit or soul, you cannot separate them altogether. Okay? You must understand that. Now, because it is not quicker to know God, that's why we do the thing we do, because of supernatural nature. Do you understand that? So the Bible said about being quickened. So when the spirit quickened, God's spirit quickened you, the soul become alive. Then we say, oh, now I understand that I need a savior. So when you receive the spirit of God and you are quickened, so what are you supposed to do? You have the spirit of God right now, so therefore you manifest the life of Christ or the life of God. That's what it means. So now, this is an example, as Paul said. When you take all this word, what does he say? He says that in which there is no profit, argue about words in which there is no profit, but in which are destruction to those who listen to them. So how many people are being destroyed? And even the return ministry of Brother Branham, there is no such a thing. And they're coming out with all that over the words and statements of Brother Branham and bring up this. Now in denomination, if you want to go and look into the early church history, in the Nicene Father, okay, the anti-Nicene Father, the post-Nicene Father, you read all those events, Avenius, Justin Martyr, Polycarp, you know, in those days, they already had a lot of argument about certain doctrine. That's why the doctrines of the Godhead was pre-Nicene, and then they all argue over it, then bring in the Nicene Council, and finally, they argue and Father, Son, Holy Ghost become three gods, three persons. And a man who stood for him, like Justin Martyr. And then here, even Justin Martyr got a little bit confused. And then, you know what happened? Monotheism was lost to the Catholic control. And that's why the Trinity exists today. You see? So, when they argue about these things, so what? Can't they just take a simple word, what the Bible says? And what do you bring the word Trinity into being? You know, and you know in Christianity they have a lot of new terms. Huh? They bring in terms so as to define what they want to, the thing that they know, and then bring a mess to the people. Further reading here in verse 15, strive to conduct yourself perfectly before God as a soldier without reproach, and one who preaches straightforwardly the word of truth. Shunt empty and worthless words, for they only increase the ungodliness of those who argue over them. And that's why I do not want to argue. Let me show you this email that came in.
Right.
This is the first email he wrote. He said, enjoy reading your report on original sin. Seems well thought out, but there is a major problem. So I will start by asking you this question. Who is the woman in Genesis 3:15. Now he put his ministry here, but there's no such ministry in the, when I search on the internet. But you know what? When he wrote like this, I was thinking, well, I don't know whether this is a believer or not, but when I look at it, when he asked this question, I began to think maybe he's just some Christian who wants to ask something. So I give him my reply. Genesis 3:15 is a dual prophecy, a literal seed out of Eve, and a spiritual point, that point to Christ through Mary. I believe that the article is very clear on that issue. Traditional teaching takes that verse and points only to Christ. Because of that, the mystery of the serpent seed doctrine is missed out. Then he wrote in the second email, okay, and then this one that came in. Wow, look at what he said. I started to gloss over your lesson regarding the serpent seed lie, and something extremely troubling surfaced. You said, he quote, he bypassed, that is Christ, bypassed the serpentine nature which was in the degraded blood of Mary, a sinner. Therefore his blood was pure and sinless. That's the quote. Then he said, well, the Holy Bible and the great popes and doctors of Roman Catholic Church, which, by the way, you have declared war against, completely disagree with your heresy. You, sir, are definitely an animal who goes on his belly. You acknowledge my holy mother as a virgin, yet defile her sanctity, being full of grace by making such an asinine command. I will see to this in defense of the Holy Mother, that you eat those words just as the serpent your father, the serpent eats them. Only with you, hopefully, I won't be the remaining days of your life. But to keep this in mind, your clock's ticking. With a heretical command like that, you are fortunate to not meet your final judgment as yet, thus given the opportunity to restore your soul. Don't you even consider the word of Almighty God. Depart from me, I never knew you. You who have done things in my holy name. And if you are selling this garbage to unsuspecting people to accumulate wealth, that's what he thinks. Eh? Because that's what denomination does. For yourself, then understand, if you live by money, so you shall die by money. You ever see? You see, this is not the first person. People have prophesied against me that I would die in certain time. I said, I will see you. I will keep your life. You know, and still today, that was back in the 80s. And where else will be? Like Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them, and keep this in mind, sir, the great red dragon draws six war with the Holy Mother of God. The Holy Mother of Lord God. Holy Mother of Lord God. My blessed mother, okay, you understand that, has been exalted to the throne once given to Lucifer. He is no doubt jealous and spiritually out of his evil mind, that my blessed mother will crush him and his minions, including you, if that what you seek. Now Maria,
means stars of the sea, the holy sea. But actually, Mari also means bitter, I was told. You, sir, are guilty of desecration. I have no doubt, scandalized innocent soul. I will remember this, for I will be starting a blessed ministry guided by the Holy Spirit to warn unsuspecting people of the wolves in sheep's clothing. My ministry now coming called some Latin name they're using, aka the fish stings from the head down, but the cream rises to the top. That's what you see. Oh, Pisces, okay. Pisces subcremium. The fish are heretics like you, and the creams are the children of Jesus Christ that make up the body, the Holy Catholic Church. And consider this, the way you highlight your point regarding the Holy Mother of God indicate to me that you really wanted to defile this Holy Queen and insult people like me. But here's the difference. While you will likely continue your campaign against the Lord God, Holy Order and Church for the skin renovation of your soul, I will, on the other hand, pray for you. But you see, now this is the third one. There was one that he sent which I never replied. Because he sent me, he was attacking, I know that he was a Catholic already, so I never replied. So when he come out to this one, I give him a very simple reply, factual, but not attacking him. You know what I said? You are a Catholic. So therefore, you have a Catholic faith. So the Bible faith is not yours. You cannot have both. You know? And I said, if you have a Holy Mother of God, I said, how did God have a Mother of God? And I just give him, I said, if you really seek the truth, look into the Bible carefully. I said, I have Catholic people in my fellowship. I know of Catholic people overseas that have turned around and leave. I said, there is a nun in India, okay, that have left the nunnery, okay, and came to the truth. I know of a priest in Uganda who turned around and left the Catholic Church because they seek the truth. Most Catholic was so much uptight. But I said, look into the scripture, and if you can see the truth, if really searching for truth, God will show it to you. You know. And well, I wrote that email back to him on 2 days ago, and still not hear from him yet. You know. So you see, this is where we have people like that who really know not anything, but he thinks that he knows a lot. When I look at the way he wrote this email, I really pity him. Because, you know, he's so much taken out with the Catholic Church as being the Holy Mother, the Queen of Heaven, you know, and all those other who are not with it is going to hell and things like that. It's very, very scary. Alright? And here we have continued reading the words of Paul. Verse 17. And their word will be like a canker eating into many, such as Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have strayed from the truth, saying that the resurrection of the dead is already past, thus destroying the faith of some. And that is very true, isn't it? Just for someone who is articulate, then he says, oh, the resurrection is over. And people really live. You know? And what about all those people at the end time? They say, just the same. Brother Bram is coming back, and they're looking forward to it, the return ministry, and all that thing. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands firm, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and He will save from iniquity everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. But in the great house there are not many vessels of gold and of silver, and also of wood and of earth. Some for former use on the occasion of honor, and other just for service. If therefore a man purify himself from all these things, he will become like a vessel, pure, for honor, worthy of the master's use, and ready for every good work. Keep away from all the lusts of youth, and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on our Lord with a pure heart. Keep away from foolish disputes, which do not educate. You know they cause strife. Right? A servant of our Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all men, apt at teaching, and patient. And that's the word of Paul. We need to purify ourselves It's not the amount of words that we speak, arguing over words. When I'm testifying to the, you know, Methodist sisters over there, I don't want to argue over just to let show her and just to mention to her simply, you see, why I do not believe in three gods. She was surprised. What do you mean by three gods? I said, Trinity is three gods. And she was wondering. I said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if each of them is God, how could it be? And I asked her, how many thrones are there in heaven? Very simple question. I said, how many thrones do you know is in heaven? Then she said, did not the Bible say that Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the Father? I said, most of the time you read that Jesus was standing on the right hand of the Father with authority. But I said, okay, Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. What does it mean on the right hand? Is there going to be another throne? And I told her, I said, in the Bible also Jesus said that I overcame and sit with my Father in his throne. So I told her, just as I told her last Sunday, did Jesus Christ sit on the lap of the Father? And then Jesus Christ said, if you all come, you sit with me in my throne. So are we all going to sit on Jesus' lap? That's the thing. I said, that's one thing that we need to understand, what about the right hand means. And what about sitting in the throne mean? I said, right hand, my Father, is that you have the authority to exercise what the Father has. But now after that we have overcome, we sit with him in the same throne. It means we have the same authority that Jesus, that God gave to Jesus, gave it to us. You see? And she was thinking. You know? So I told her that we need to follow what the Bible says. If God says this one way, we should one way, no other way. She said, yeah, that's true. You know? So simply not to argue with the word. Like my friend used to argue with me, like this one I wrote where I said, you know, I wrote to him, this man here, Andrew, at the end part of it, I said, if you believe that your Catholic Church is a true church, true faith, and that you have that faith, be at peace. Then I said, apparently you are not at peace. You know, I said, for me, I have the faith of the Bible and Jesus Christ. I have the peace. And I sign off as Shalom. You know, simple thing like that, even with my friend, the Presbyterian brother, the same thing. You argue a whole lot, I just give him a few words and tell him that. So this is one other thing about it. If we are the Christian, we need to be able to share with people and keep our frame of mind and keep our balance in the world. Alright? So, how many preachers over the years that you know or you heard preach that you can say they are sincere? And sincere for the work, for the word of God's sake. Yeah? Do you know one thing? The thing that we do, we are not doing it for our own sake. And when we pray for somebody to be healed, whose sake are we praying? Do you know when we pray for someone to be healed, we tell the Father, Father, for Jesus' sake, let this man be healed. It's not for his sake, not for my sake. Why? Because that Christ may be glorified. Because that's what all the world is about. It is about Christ. The promises is about Christ. Father, no. Father, for my sake, heal me. No, it's not for my sake. And sometimes when we get out about certain things, we say, for goodness sake. What was goodness sake? I mean, people say that for goodness sake. You know. So everything that we do it to the glory of God. For Jesus' sake. But when you come to a lot of these preachers, how many of them have you known all these years? Then you can say that they are sincere. I have seen too many that made me want to vomit. They talk about all the knowledge about knowing God and all this, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet they know about the Word, but yet they can't even discern between the Christ and the Antichrist. What is true Word, what is not true Word. You know. See. And this will be done continually. Like I told you this before, I shared with you, mentioned it earlier about someone who wrote and spread the quotes and just simply extract something from Brother Branham about big children, little girls from birth should never have the haircut because it's a Nazarite vow. What is that? See, this is the kind of argument they spread it out and let people try to say, what's your opinion, what's your opinion? Everybody will give their view. There's this brother who keep on sending all this kind of thing. Because others sent to him and he wanted to hear what people said. And you spread all this. That's why I don't want to forward all this nonsensical quote. You know what I'm saying? Everybody have opinion about the quote, so why do you want to give your 2 cents worth and spread all your opinion? Everybody come against it and give their opinion. That's why on the internet there's a lot of forum site, right? About all this. Don't. And so Paul gives us this warning. It does not profit. See? And that's why for years I've been trying to get people to understand these things. You come up higher as the Spirit of God told John, come up higher. You see. So that's why all this thing about hair splitting is one of the worst things that ever you could ever come across. You know, brother was talking about a sister, and a sister from America was telling me, find it, asking me about these two souls and how many people, the thing that she had heard. And she did a search on from the internet about some of the churches, how that some of the churches people are now leaving the message because they're confused. And she was saying that people have left the church and they now are taking Brother Branham and the message. I won't be surprised. You see, John Kenneth and Colin and all these others that you see on the internet. Huh? And even the brother in India, that's what I tell you about recently. I have been with him in India for so many years, and now he turned around, now he's attacking. The reason why you mix with what you're mixing with, what do you call it, bird of the same feather, flock together, that sort of thing. If you are not bird of the same feather, if you are an eagle, and you want to mix with other parrots, and you find out yourself that you'll be even parroting like a parrot. You understand what I'm saying? You have certain behavior. You know. If you live in America for long, you're speaking like an American, huh? You know? Yes. And a sister Bali here has been here in Singapore now, speaking a bit like Singlish, a little bit like Singaporean. Because you see, when you are mixing the people with too long, you tend to have that. You acquire that kind of thing. Right. And that's why we need to be able to discern, not to be going to all that thing. We need to be holy and not be in tradition. 2 Timothy 3, 7. Verse 7 to 9. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto men. So there are also wars. This is one thing that I realize to be true. Ever learning, never come to the knowledge of the truth. And Bernice and I, you know, after he came and worked together, there are certain brothers started attacking him. Here in Singapore and over there, over in the Philippines as well, over in his own country, Nigeria. But you know, we always show a little grace for them to let them understand, and then by and by some of them do. You see. So, that is very true what Paul is saying here. Ever learning, never come to the knowledge of the truth. First Peter. Chapter 4 and verse 10 to 19. As every man received the gifts given, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God given. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Am I reading? Okay, sorry. And ever and ever, amen. And then according to verse 14, verse 12. Beloved, think it is not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on his behalf, on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment shall begin in the house of God. And if this, now, verse 17, pay attention. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, why shall the glory ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Paul talking about here is suffering as a Christian. Now if judgment begin in the house of God, and it begins first with us, what about those? Judgment must begin in the house of God. God will always judge his people first, never anybody else. God must judge us first, because we have the word. So he can use the word to judge us. But what about those outside? He says over here in verse 18, If the righteous scarcely be saved, what about the ungodly and the sinner? If the righteous scarcely be saved, now the judgment begin in the house of God. Okay? So, what about those who do not obey the gospel? Now even Christians, a lot of Christians don't. Well, like Brother Informer was saying this earlier on, huh? Yeah, we said, Lord, forgive us, and we're not going to do it again, and we did it again. See? Because God is continuing, is on a continuous program of dealing with us, chastening us. So, this is a judgment. We are being judged every day by the Word. This judgment keeps us in line. Because we are his people. See? So what was Peter trying to tell us? The importance of living the life as a Christian, even much as we have to go through suffering. We have to live it. Live that life. Keep our balance in it. But let me tell you a story here. On a Sunday school, you know, young children, they were being told the story of the publicans. Luke chapter 18. And, yes, there's a parable of the Pharisees and the publicans. So this group of Sunday school, young people were listening. They're young people, no? Maybe in their 12, 13, yes, or something like that. And they were listening to the teacher sharing with them this parable. So let us read the parable and see. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trust in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. You know what a publican is, don't you? A publican means a commoner, a sinner. The Pharisees is the religious leaders. Okay? The Pharisees stood there and prayed thus, and he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioner, unjust, adulterer, or even as this publican. Oh my goodness. I mean, this is a parable, because it may not have happened exactly like that, but Jesus was illustrating that the way that the Pharisees will pray. Lord, I know I'm a righteous man. You know, I'm not like the extortioner or the cheater. Not like this man. Pointing the sinner. Okay? Now, just now, because this is the story that the teacher was telling the students, I want you to see how the impact upon the one of the Sunday school kid. And I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smoke upon his breast, saying, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. So the teacher right now asked the student, you learn everything? Yes, good. Don't you understand the parable? Yes, sir. Alright, would one of you pray? So young man stood up and he prayed. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this parable. I'm so glad we are not like the Pharisees. You get it? So what is your way trying to compare? We're not like the Pharisees. So you are trying to justify that you're better than the Pharisees. You see how that sometimes we don't realize what you are comparing. You know. So for the first was just innocent child, and of course he said what he said. Don't blame him on that. Right. Now, the other thing I want to share with you is there was this case of an Englishman. He had a beautiful car, a Rolls Royce. So he was very proud of the Rolls Royce, his happy Rolls Royce. You know, Rolls Royce is a fantastic car, right? So he drove this car across from England, over to Europe, and went on a tour. So he went on the city and then onto the country road and all this. So, well, one day he was on the country road and it was kind of rough. Pow! Something went wrong in the front of the car. And he went and checked and the spring broke. You know? So he called up the agent, in Europe, one of those people who import and sell Rolls Royce, to come in to fix the broken spring. So they came, they fixed the broken spring, and they said they will build to him later on. Okay. So he was happy, continued his tour, went back home to England. So days passed, weeks passed, months passed, and there was no bill. Alright? So his friend said, wow, there's no bill. So I better find out what went wrong. See? So he called up the Rolls Royce office in England. And he said to the person on the phone, he said, can I speak to the person in charge of the repair shop and all that, repair work and all this, you know? And the person said, you hold, I'll put you to the person, whoever is in charge of the big guy. So he waited, and this big guy came on the phone and said, what can I do for you, sir? He said, such and such a date I was in Europe, and I was driving my Rolls Royce, and there was a broken spring, and I had one of your representative in that country, on Austria or someplace, you know, fix it. You know, and I'm still waiting for my bill. The Rolls Royce man said, we never heard of a Rolls Royce having a broken spring. There's no such thing as a broken spring in Rolls Royce. You know, so, you see, the company are so proud of their product, they don't even believe in anything broken, so this man will never charge, so that he can go around, you know, saying, Rolls Royce is so good, never have broken spring. So you see how the company is so proud of it, and they will lie about it, you know, live up to the pride and say, there's no such thing as a broken spring in Rolls Royce. Now, you are a Christian. Do you have a broken spring in your life? Yes. Never say that you never have a broken spring in your life. Sure. Wrong mistake. And people look at the life and say, why you couldn't do this? You know, one time when I was back then in the early 70s, when we started our ministry. So, you know, I got computer parts, you can buy floppy disks, you know, all these things. So, when I go there, I drive my motorcycle and then I wear jeans, you know. Wear jeans and a t-shirt, you know, just shop there and buy. So, and when I was familiar with these people, the store owner. And they were asking me, you know, what do you do for your job? I said, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. You're a preacher! You look at me. I mean, you're a preacher, you dress like that. I said, well, how the preacher dress? You know how the person think about this sort of thing and that kind of a perception. I said, how does a pastor dress? And she looked at me. Well, I said, if you want me to dress in a coat and a tie? And the other, another star was laughing. You know? I mean, that's her perception, you know what I mean? Because every time she see and the church people, they go, they always wear tie and all, that's supposed to be a pastor. She said, how can you be a pastor dressed like this? So that's why I went, how does a pastor dress? You know? And I asked her, I mean, it's a woman actually, I asked her, he said, well, no, the Jewish guy is a great prophet. He said, yeah, so how does he dress? Does he dress like what you see today in the churches, the Christ church? You see the perception. But there's one thing, for them to criticize our dress. I mean, we what's wrong with our dress? As long as we dress proper. But of course, if you don't dress proper, then they criticize you, then you are ashamed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see? That's why, as minister, I don't go out wearing short pants. I wear short pants at home. I don't wear short pants to go out walking. I want to dress proper. With trousers. You know, at home, yes, you can wear a sarong or your shirt at home. You see, it's very important how that we, when we are outside, you know, like there has been that some extremists asked me, when you talk about women cannot wear trousers, you know. And remember, Brother Ben was asked one time a question, what about pajamas? Was and the sister, but I said, I don't see any reason why you wear pajamas at home to sleep. Surely you don't wear pajamas at all. You know? So I was asking the brother, if he said trousers is a man, that means a pajama is a man, can you even wear at home then? You know? I said, because they are extreme, so I asked him the question like this, does it make sense? Huh? Can a person be naked? At home, showering, of course you do. Of course you don't go out and walking naked. Is it just no common sense? People are so self-righteous, so much, over-righteous. And overly wise. They don't even know how to keep the balance in the world. And isn't it terrible? I remember one time, you know, we're talking about discussing about picking up $10 or $50 on the roadside. What are you going to do with it? Now this has been discussed in our fellowship one time. It was terrible. You know, the opinion of some, but I just don't understand. If you pick up $50 on the roadside, what are you going to do? There's nobody around. You pick it up in the field, pick up somebody on the roadside. What are you going to do with that? One brother said, you're going to give it to the police station. I said, the police is going to keep it in the kitty. Right? They won't bother. I said, you find it, they're probably trying to keep it. Because nobody, you know, you didn't see anybody else drop it, so you do not know. So I asked the same brother, I said, what if I take a fight on the roadside? I said, go to the police station. The police will look at me and I need to go to Woodbridge Hospital. You see the craziness of all of this issue. But if you find a $50 in the wallet with the address there and a name, give it back. What if you find $50 in a bundle on the roadside? What if you have $50,000 in an envelope, nicely packed, wrapped it up, clean note, somebody drop it on the roadside? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Tell me. Now it's a lot of money, huh? What are you going to do? I mean, after all, what are you supposed to do? We do for me, I will do the best I can. I will wait there for some time. See whatever will come. See what the person come walking, you know. So normally people do. You know. If you hire in the taxi, sure you want to return to the taxi, you go to the headquarters, report it. People, the person who was before me is using a taxi, will definitely be able to look for it. But if you find a roadside somewhere, what are you going to do? Wait for a while and see the person, hopefully the person come back. And if not, then what are you going to do with the money? Since it's not yours, you don't want to keep too much money, what are you going to do? Give it to charity. Don't give it to the police station. Don't give it, right? No, keep it, definitely. Give it to charity. After all, you cannot find a person. So don't be overly zealous and say, oh, this and that. No. Sometimes, a lot of time, it makes no sense. Alright, so in the church of God, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 9-17. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another build thereon. But every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, even so yet as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of God is foolishness for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. So the church of God are made up of different kind of people. But the question is, as we know earlier on, the thing how we build. You're going to build like gold, silver, precious stone, or you're going to build on it hay, stubble? Right? And what that doesn't mean only the church, the house of God as a whole, but you are also the temple of the Holy Spirit. So how do you build in your life? How do you build in your own life? Do you have time for the Lord? Time for the Word? You know Josephus. You know Josephus? How many of you know Josephus? He's a historian, Jewish historian, who lived about 100 years after Christ. And he wrote, and he said that when God is pleased with the children of Israel's worship, he said the pillar of fire will come down upon the high priest's shoulder. This is according to his historical record, Jewish antiquity. You know. So the same thing, how our worship with God, how we relate ourselves to God. Alright? Now, the other thing is that we are now living in this year, 2016. Now we have come a long way. I came to message 71 until now, that's a long way. Some maybe just a couple of years. But still, we are very close to it. But we believe that God is always giving us some new thoughts, some new nuggets, something that we can learn. It's not wrong for us to go into history and learn something about the children of Israel. It's nothing wrong to look into the yesterday's message, so to speak. It's not wrong for us to, for any preacher to take one of Luther's message or John Spurgeon's message, or John Wesley, or even go to Polycarp's a sermon and then teach the church. That's no problem. But we cannot always go to the history and talk about what happened there and there and there. And then when God is trying to show you something for our days, and you miss it. See? And I've been wondering how many people in the end time have missed the truth. And that's why now there's so much confusion. People are leaving the end time because they're confused. See? And Sister Bree and Sister Isabel was saying that it wasn't for the truth that we have on the internet, they probably staying at home doing nothing. Not going to church, perhaps. Or they're just lost or in this crazy religious world. You know. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And how many people in Singapore right now who embrace the message are just wandering around? Brother and sister, we are in a very close to the coming of the Lord. I don't know how long. Maybe next year we're going to see the earthquake. Something's going to happen. And the time is nearer than we realized. Is that right? If you look back in the past, look at the Exodus. Why did God have to carry the people out of Egypt? Why did God have to destroy the world at that time in the days of Noah? Huh? In the days of Noah, God told them to get into the ark. Now if you don't get into the ark, you die. Right? In the days of the Egyptian bondage, God said the people of Israel must get out of Egypt. If they don't get out of Egypt, they die. There are times that we need to get out, there are times we need to get in. And in our days, do think, we need to get out of the system of the religious world, the system of the politics, on all this crazy worldly system. Don't mess, don't get stuck in there. You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of people that get so religious and attached to their system and the church and the tradition and all that. And there are those who are so much with the politics. Ah. When you're in there so much, what can you do? Does it do you any good? We need to come out of this system and get into the Word of God. We've got to come out and get in. This is the last thing. Alright? Now, lastly, let me finish off on this point. Now, as a Christian, our life, we need to keep our balance in the Word. Now, sincerity is the key word to our life as a Christian. Are you sincere? Now, when we have a problem, how do you solve it? How do you solve a problem? If you have a problem with your brother or sister, would you want to sit down and say, come, let's talk about this? Or are you upset about talking about it? Now, if your brother hurt you or sister hurt you, you've got to go and talk to the person. And if your brother or sister know that you hurt somebody else, go and find out. You know. If someone tell me, Brother Gunn, you have offended someone. And if that was told to me, I will go to find out someone, have I offended you? So we need to. We know that if a sister or brother don't talk to us, then we better find out why the person don't talk to us. Because you see, the church is the body of Christ. It cannot be left by itself. One member this way, one member go this way. Paul talked about the member in the body. See? And then if you have offended somebody, yeah, let us be sincere and speak, not like, well, this instant. Or this brother who was telling me, he said to me, he wrote me an email. Just two sentences. It was so ambiguous. I didn't even know who he was at first. As the Lord forgives, I pray you my wrongs towards you. And my Lord and Master forgives me, I also forgive all others and you without exception. I don't understand who this person was. And I thought,
who is this person?
We are later found who was. But the question is this, why do you, when you want to ask somebody to forgive you, go and tell the person nicely. Or write, brother, I'm sorry I've done this, please forgive me. Don't write so strange, like Yoda's language or something. Or language from outer space. As the Lord forgives, I pray you, my wrongs towards you. Well, anybody understand this? I know I am probably complete a buffet. And my Lord, my Master, forgive me. I forgive all others and you without exception. So what has got to do with that? You ask me to forgive you. I want to know. What is that I have done wrong to you and what is that you have done wrong to me? Because I'm going very buffet. So you see, if you have really sincerity, then you know you have done something wrong to a brother or a sister. Go down there and say truthfully, sincerely, not in a passive way. Do you see that? I feel so sorry for people who cannot come out. There is another brother overseas. Say all kinds of things about me. Tonight I just wonder, what is all this? Accusing me of this and that. I said, show me why did I have done this. You know. And keep on coming around, turning around, this and that. It just buffeted me. And this man is a minister. And it's scary. We are Christians. We have the word of God to keep us. It's just, if the word, God said he's going to judge us. That's what became the house of God, chastening us. So how do we walk in the light of God's word? Some people are in the state like this. Email the brother Andrew sent me in Zambia about a pastor who went on the fast. I don't know why I forward this email to you. He wanted to go on a long fast to break the record what Jesus for 40 days fast. And he died out there in the forest. How did he die? And I can only think of one reason why he died. It's because he didn't drink water. And people don't understand that. How do they interpret the Bible? People go around and think that, oh, Jesus has supernatural fast for 40 days, 40 nights without drinking water and food, eating food. And Moses had the same. A lot of people, some brothers have written me asking me in the past about this, how to go on a fast. Is it true that Jesus had a supernatural fast? I said, the only person that had a supernatural fast was Moses. Jesus can never have a supernatural fast. How is it so? How is it Moses was the only one? Because he was in the pillar of fire. When you are in the pillar of fire, you can be there forever and ever, and you will not die. So you don't have to eat food and drink water. But Jesus Christ was not doing a natural fast, I mean supernatural fast. He was doing a natural fast. He was seeking the strength of God. You understand? Going there to fast to be filled with the Holy Spirit so he can come out and minister the word. So he needs water. If you don't have water, after the third day, your kidney is going to shut down for that time. And after that, for a week, you'll find yourself out there dying. But this minister, does he know what he's doing? Does he know what he's doing? I remember the time when we have a church go on a fast. Sister Lucy Paul was so concerned. She said, Brother Gunn, are you sure you can go on a fast? You know what the fasting is all about? You know, do you know how to fast? I said, sister, you don't think about doctor's way of fasting. I said, I know what you're fasting. Simple. Fasting is not eating food. And not eating food doesn't mean that not eating, not drinking. Huh? All you want to stop fasting, don't eat. Just drink water. Or without water for 3 days, you have a problem. You can live without, you can live long with water, but you cannot live long without water. Do you see that? There are people who have gone more than 40 days fasting and not die. All they have is just water. water. Because it's the source of life. So we need to know what we're doing. Alright, so let us not try to impersonate. Like the man, this preacher, oh my, I feel so sorry for him, trying to impersonate. What then? Now, coming to close with this one point. There are many Christians, well, they go to church 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and as one day they just give up the faith. Now, let me ask this. Could anybody revive a dead stock? Or if you plant flowers or whatever, you plant flowers or plant whatever. If that stock is dead, can you revive it? You can't. Right? Only true seeds that are pollinated, and seeds that are pollinated, it looks dead. You can keep it for years, huh? Do you know that when the archaeologists dug up some of these, vase of under the pyramids, some of these other pyramids out there, they found this vase of grains, barley grains and whatever other grains, and that was thousands of years. And they pick that and they plant it and it grow. As long as seeds are pollinated and kept dried away from sunlight and all these things, they will not break down because of the heat and the dampness. They will survive. They will be able to be germinated. But once you are a stock to grow up and you die, it's very hard to revive. Unless it's done by parasite, something that can be dealt with and treated, but otherwise, no. Luke chapter 7. So finally, are we all truth seeker? Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Now when he had entered all this saying in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dead, was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came, besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus said, Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter upon under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man that is under authority, having under me soldier, and I say unto one, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he do it. And when Jesus heard this thing, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole, they had been sick. Now, you know this interesting case. This centurion, he loved the Jew in his own town, somewhere in Capernaum, I don't know. And he had a servant that was sick, someone that he loved. So he went and asked the Jew, the leader, the elder of the Jew, please go and look for Joshua and come and heal my servant. Now this elder of the Jew, you know, went and told Jesus, you know, please come and do something for this man, because he's a Gentile, right? You know, he's a Gentile and he's a centurion, but he loves our people. He built us a synagogue, you know. So when Jesus heard that, he went. Now, by the time that when Jesus went to the place, the two records, the other one recorded in John, slightly different. But it's to say that when the centurion came and saw Jesus Christ coming, okay, just tell the Lord not to come in. Just say the word, and my someone will be healed. Now, think about the judge here that never found such a great faith. This man has seen the light of who Jesus Christ was. And Jesus Christ did it for him. And this is what I'm saying, that he, being a Gentile, not from the lineage of Abraham, so to speak, and yet he was a seed of God, and therefore could be pollinated. And therefore when he seed, he could be revived. And so, we who have been revived, what do we do with this faith that we have? One last verse. And if you will, go to the book of, I think you can show it on the screen. I want you to show it on the screen, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. But first read the King James Version. Because I want to show you something here. That our Christian life, let us lead the word balanced life. Not overzealous, not over righteous. Now, these are the different versions, okay? Okay, let's read King James anyway, see what King James says. Brother John, can you read it? Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7, verse 16.
Do not be excessively righteous and do not be overwise. Do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself?
What do you?
Ruin yourself.
Ruin yourself, okay. Now, these are different translations, okay? This is Authorized Standard Version and Darby's Version. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why would you destroy yourself? So, kind of, alright, we should not be over righteous, should not be over wise. So, why would that destroy ourselves? Okay, but this may not be clear to many of us, or ruin ourselves, right? Okay, let us, because the word has more meaning than it's translated. So, this is the Bible Basic Edition. Be not given overmuch to righteousness, and be not overwise. Why let destruction come on you? Okay, up. So don't destroy yourself by being too good or acting too smart. Okay? Don't be too virtuous and don't be too wise. Why make yourself miserable? Well, sounds good. Good. Do not be overjust and be not more wise than is necessary, lest thou become stupid. Now, love side is what I like. Be not over righteous, neither make yourself over wise, lest you should become stupid. Now, that's what the verse actually saying. Like I said earlier on, if we act overly righteous, $5 pick on the floor, bring it to the police station. You know what I mean? That means that 5 cents you have to pick up, you have to give it to the police station also. Now, doesn't that make you look stupid? It does, doesn't it? Now, do you believe that God works in wondrous way? Yes. Like the true story of the mother and the children in the days of droughts, when they have no food, and the children said, "Mama, we want bread." There was nothing in the house. And Mama said, "I will pray." And she prayed. Anyway, they were out there in the country, of course, and here came a truck that passed by the house, bum up, and then back door open, out came a loaf of bread. Now the children were playing, when they turned around, they saw the bread on the roadside, so they picked it up. "Mama, God sent bread." Do you think Mama said, "No, that's not God sent bread. That's a delivery truck, we've got to hurry up, catch it, and return it to them." That's so silly. You know, God, the things of the world, the riches of this world, do you know everything on this earth belongs to God actually? God can take it back. Your gold and everything. You see? But don't go and look for gold, of course, like some foolish brothers in the Philippines. Go and hunt for Yamashita's gold. And say that we can have the gold and we can do a lot of work for the gospel. No, God don't need that. God needs us. But when you need bread, God will send bread. When you don't need it, God doesn't have to send it. You work for it. That's what God's standard is. Work for it. You see. So let us keep ourselves the balance of the world. Not be overly righteous, Not be overly smart and try to be wise and than others. Let us be sincere, keep the faith. And all these are so simple all over this Bible. And we know that, Christ is coming. People start setting date, Christ is coming. Yeah, we know we are looking for Christ coming, but we are not setting date. Because we don't know when Christ is coming. We all say, maybe He comes next year. Maybe even tomorrow, or maybe next week or something. Yes, we long for Him to come. But if we fix a date like some brethren did in the past, you know, and I told him it's not going to come to pass. And he was very upset. He said, I threw away my Bible in the basement basket. I said, brother, you take it back because the dead will come and go and I'll still be around. Said, how do you know? I said, no, the bride is not ready. But I believe now the bride should be ready. Is that right? I believe the bride should be ready now. People have come out to the truth now, become wiser and come back to the world. Not just going into all that tradition and the courts and courts and courts, but all come back to the Word of God and learn and walk sincerely in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Help us as your people to be, Father, found walking in your Word. Have a word-balanced life. Not overly righteous, not overly wise, truly. And we know, Lord, and we should not be foolish also. Like those saying, oh no, Christ is not coming soon. It's still a long way to go before Christ comes. And they are just sitting down and doing nothing. Not building up their own spiritual life even. But Lord, in all simplicity, you have told us to believe in you, to keep your word, to follow and walk in the light that you have given us. And so help us to do just that, Lord. Give us wisdom, real wisdom, O Father. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom in the spirit of the word of life. That we can build ourselves up one to another as well, exhorting each other, loving one another, in all things that we do, be really sincere in all this, Lord. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.